In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. In today's gospel reading, the Pharisees come to Jesus, yet again, attempting to entrap him with a trick question. They say, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Why is this a trick question? Seems pretty straightforward. Pay taxes, don't pay taxes. To hear the trick in the question, we need to understand the political situation in Jesus' place and time. We need to understand who held the power and who had no power. First, remember that the Jews in Palestine at that time were a conquered people. They'd been living under Roman rule for about 100 years, and for about 600 years prior to that, they had lived under, as a conquered people, under the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Greeks in order. So 700 years of living as a conquered people. It's pretty amazing to me that the Jews could even manage to keep their culture and their religion intact, and I think it really speaks to their tenacity as a people and also to the strength of their faith. And at the time of Jesus, this sort of as an aside, the time of Jesus was the beginning of what the Romans referred to as the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. I doubt most of the Jews that saw their own occupation by these so-called peaceful Romans didn't see it as any sort of a blessing. Well, actually a few did, and we'll return to them. But for the most part, living under Roman rule was hard, brutish, and expensive. It was expensive because to be a Jew, meant you had to pay a lot of taxes. Eric Schaeffer points out in a commentary on this reading, he says, there was a temple tax, there were also land taxes, customs, trade taxes, to name just three more. The tax in this text was additional tax, one particularly despised by the Jews. It was called the imperial tax, required as a tribute to Rome to support the Roman emperor's occupation of Israel. Think of that a moment. First century Jews were required to pay their oppressors a yearly tax to support their own oppression. End of the quote. Now, I know that there are people in America today that can relate to the anger and frustration of having to pay taxes that support their own suppression, and those people come from both the hard right and the hard left end of the political spectrums, but most of us, I think, must use our imaginations to understand just how it might have felt to be a common Jew and to have to pay a tax to the Roman emperor when all he had done for you was to make your life miserable. But it's interesting, those common Jews aren't the people who come to Jesus today to ask, should we pay? The common people, the ones hardest hit, knew that they had no real choice. They could pay the tax, or they could pay the price. The people who came to Jesus with this question on this day were the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Herodians were a Jewish family who were basically a puppet government set up by the Romans to keep the Jews in line. They were living lives of privilege under Roman rule. They benefited from the imperial tax. Their lives of privilege were threatened by Jesus and his radical message of complete faith in a loving, compassionate, and just God. Jesus, in his life, his words, and his actions, called out the Herodians' hypocrisy, and they would conspire with their Roman oppressors to have him killed. So that's the Herodians. We're told that the Pharisees were in cahoots with them, And it's kind of a strange alliance, except that maybe it makes perfect sense, because they too felt their power and their privilege threatened by Jesus. In his life and his words, he called out their hypocrisy too. So, Jesus, what do you think? Should we pay this tax? Jesus, ever nimble, ever quick to think on his feet, said, show me the coin that you used to pay this tax. So they brought him a denarius, a Roman coin, the coin of their conquerors, the only coin acceptable as legal tender to pay this tax, and on it was engraved the image of Caesar Tiberius, the tyrant of the day. Do you know what else was engraved on that coin? It was a statement that Tiberius was a god. I think that Jesus probably waited a long moment, a long pregnant pause to let that set in, maybe showed that coin with Tiberius's image on it to these people who were supposedly faithful Jews. In fact, they were the elders and the leaders of the people, and they were showing Jesus a token of the very power that kept them in power. Jesus, ever nimble, ever quick, said to them, "You know what this means. This is Caesar's. Give it back to him. Pay the tax, you hypocrites. Now give to God what belongs to God." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and they went away. And I think that's what most of us would like to do with this seemingly simple reading. Be a little amazed that Jesus has told us to go ahead and pay our taxes, leave it at that, and get on with our day. But I'd like to encourage us to live in the tension of that simple, maybe all too familiar phrase for a little bit this morning. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. Who or what is our emperor today in Jackson Hole, October 22nd, 2017? Well, it's not Donald Trump. Who or what has power over us, has conquered us in a sense? Since I speak as a white middle-class man to a room of mostly white people, I'm going to make some suggestions that I wouldn't presume to make if I were preaching at our father's house in Ethity or in an African-American church in Alabama. I recognize and I want to acknowledge, in my opinion anyway, the fact that there are groups of people in this country that have been and continue to be oppressed by the powers that be. But I'll say it again, who or what has earthly power over you today? And what price are the tributes you make to your emperors? What is it that rules us, that we organize our lives around? Is it money? Is it recreation? Is it drugs or alcohol? Is it exercise? Is it your computer screen? TV? Your job, the news, your family, St. John's Church. I'm tempted to say that none of the earthly things that we love so much are of themselves good or bad, but I can't really say that, because they are all inherently good, because they are all created by God and given to us freely by God. But boy, do we have a capacity to mess things up. It's almost as if we can't help ourselves from becoming too attached to any of the things, any of the 10,000 things, as our Buddhist brothers and sisters call them, the things of this earthly realm, these beautiful things that we become attached to. But when we become attached, we can turn away from the gifts that God has given us and turn them into our masters, our emperors, our conquerors. And when that happens, we pay the price. To misquote Ben Franklin, that's as sure as death and taxes. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. That's the rub, right? Here's the tension in the story, and here's where we tend to want to go away with the Pharisees and the Herodians. What belongs to God, and how do I give that back? Folks, you belong to God. We can try to avoid it. We can try to deny it, and we often forget it. But Jesus tells us over and over again that we belong to God. We are God's children. We are created in God's image, though we seldom act like it. But I think that's only because we forget. We forget that our lives are a precious gift given by God. We have been given these lives not because we deserve them, not because we earned them, but simply out of God's love and grace. If we can live in God's love and grace, somehow, freely given, then we can live in freedom. And as I read the gospel story, Jesus was the human embodiment of God's love and the human embodiment of God's perfect freedom. Can you think of another human being that was less concerned with the attachments of this world or more in tune with the love of God? We, Jesus' followers, disciples, love spreaders, are exactly as free as we choose to be. We are free to follow or not. We are free to give ourselves to the work of God here on earth, here in Jackson Hole, or not. I say, let's follow Jesus. I mean, really follow him into freedom and grace together. As soon as I'm done, and I'm almost done, we're going to baptize Harriet and welcome her into this, our family of faith. And as we do that, I'd like to encourage us all to listen carefully to what we say as we say together the baptismal covenant. We're going to make statements of faith. And because our faith in a loving God gives us freedom and strength, we boldly make promises regarding how we will live. We say we can live together as the apostles did, pray and break bread. We can resist the attachments that separate us from God and each other. And when we fail, and we will fail, and when we fail, we can turn around, ask forgiveness, and try again. We say that we can spread this good news by showing love to our neighbors in real, tangible ways, working for justice, peace, and dignity for all. This is how we give God what belongs to God. This is how we give ourselves back to God. Amen.